Well, David's going to come and bring us the meditation today as we behold the Lord Jesus.
Good morning. Good morning. Our text this morning is John 1:29. Gospel according to John, verse 29. Let's ask God's help. Lord Jesus, we see you lifted up high and seated at the right hand of all power and authority today. No longer on the cross, no longer on the grave, no longer ascended and walking on the earth and showing thyself to a multitude of witnesses. But now high and lifted up, you sit on victory throne, and we exalt you from that place. We thank you, Lord. I pray this morning we would behold the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of us this morning perhaps still guilty in our sin, or guilty because of sin. And I was thinking, just as we were singing those hymns, we know Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that everyone that looks might be healed, might be healed from that poison of the viper's bite. And I was thinking of that viper as we were singing that song, and thinking of the wound that the children of Israel received, the wounds they received from the viper bites. In the desert, in the wilderness. How much meditation, how much time did they spend looking at their wounds? And how much time did they spend looking at the serpent raised up in the wilderness? And I suggest to you that those who wanted cleansing, those who wanted healing, took very little time to look at their wounds, but much time to look to that serpent, to look to that bronze serpent in the wilderness. And this morning as Christians, we must take little time to look at our sin. We must look at it, look at our filthy estate, look at our body, but look to the cross of Christ. We must immediately look up, because if you look at the wound, you'll be discouraged. If you spend time contemplating, if you spend time pitying, if you spend time debating and just wasting time looking at the wound, you will not get the cleansing. You will not see the antidote. You will not see the healing blood. We must spend little time looking at ourselves. There is no good, there is no fruit in spending time looking at ourselves, because we are in our flesh. Paul says, in me, that is, in my flesh, is no good thing. And that's why I glory in the cross of my Redeemer. Lift up your eyes and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It wasn't my text, but I just wanted to share that meditation as we were singing that song. John 1 verse 29. The next day, John, that is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I want to focus on that text. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold is to take notice. Jesus stops the world in its tracks. Jesus stops us where we are this morning, and he stops all of mankind and says, "Behold, behold." This is the herald of the gospel. This is the herald. This is something that an angel proclaims of his coming. And now John the Baptist proclaims of his going up to the cross, the reason he came, to die for the sins of the world. And he says, the first word he says, "Behold." This morning, do you behold? Do you behold the Lamb? Daily, do you behold him? Do you see Christ magnified, lifted up? Christ is here. John the Baptist says, "He is the one whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." Behold. Behold. Christ is here. He comes to do his Father's will. He comes not to do his own will. Behold. Behold. Behold the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus was prepared before the foundation of the earth. There was a day on a mountain when an old man, Abraham, lifted up a knife to pierce his son Isaac through as a sacrifice of obedience to God. And as he lifted up his knife to pierce his son Isaac through, God said, stop. Stop. But there was another mount, a mount called Golgotha, where God raised his knife against his own son and did not stop, but pierced him through. Pierced him through. It wasn't Satan that killed the Son of God. It wasn't mere men. It pleased the Father to crush him. Isaiah 53, and Pastor read those words, verses 5 and 6, and I'll read them in a different version. He was pierced through for our transgressions. The knife did not stop at this point. The knife went through the Son of God. He was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. He was crushed. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. The chastisement, the punishment that we deserved, the wrath of God fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. By his scourging, not only did he have the separation from the Father, not only did he have the wrath of the sin of the world on him, upon his shoulders, but his body was scourged, and literally he was disfigured beyond human comprehension. By his scourging we are healed. All of us, me first, all of us are like sheep who have gone astray, each one turning to his own way. But what the Lord has laid on him, the iniquity of us all. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb that was pierced through. The sacrifice was complete. It wasn't a half sacrifice. It wasn't a partial sacrifice. The obedience was to death. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. Jesus is God's Lamb. He did not come for his own will. He came to do the Father's will. And he is God's. And friends, he himself is God. He himself is God. Hebrews 1 and verse 2 says that in these last days God speaks to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus was there at the beginning making the worlds, the one who created the universe and spoke things into being from nothing. The same one lays himself willingly on an altar, on a mount, and the Father pierces the knife through his Son. He who was the brightness of his glory, he who was without sin, he is the Lamb of God. He is God himself. He is the brightness of his glory, and the Bible says he is the express image of his person. Jesus is God. He is God, the very express image of his person, who upholds all things by the word of his power, who have called down a multitude of angels and taken himself off that cross. But he allowed the Father to crush him. He upholds all things by the word of his power, yet he lays on the altar. Not helpless, but he lays on the altar willingly, saying, not my, but thy will be done. And when this God, by the word of his power, upholding all things, when he by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's where he is this morning. That's where he is this morning. Praise God. He's no longer a babe. Praise God. He's no longer walking the earth. Praise God, he's no longer on the cross or in the tomb. or resurrected walking on the earth, showing himself to be God raised from the dead, but he's ascended. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Behold the Lamb of God. He is of God. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Was God. Jesus Christ is God. And that's the battle we're going to face in this generation and in all generations. For people will say he is a prophet. People will say he was sinless. People will even agree with you that he did good and that he worked miracles. But when you say he is God, they will refute that. For in saying that Jesus is God, it refutes every other religion and every other way. And this is the battle you face and I face daily when dealing with men, with the souls of men. They will see Jesus as having done well on that cross. They will see him as coming for us. And it's all a man-centered gospel. No, he came to do his Father's will and to glorify himself, in that he set before the foundation of the earth a people unto himself, a people zealous of good works. He is the Lamb of God which taketh away. And this is the main part of my message, which taketh away. In the Old Testament, there was no such principle. When the word atonement is used in the Old Testament, it's a covering. It's a pacifying of God's wrath. It's a holding back of God's anger against sin. But in the New Testament, there is a taking away. No longer a covering is needed. No longer a yearly atonement is needed. But a taking away. The meaning of the word atonement is a reconciliation. It's the satisfaction. It's repairing a wrongdoing or an injury. It is to make amends. And in theology, when we hear the word atonement, it's the reconciliation of man with God through the life and suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of any flesh, whether it's a bull, a lamb, or a man, the life is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls. There was a day of atonement in Leviticus 23:27. It says on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. And Leviticus 16:29 has more instructions on this for the old covenant. There shall be a permanent statute for you in the 7th month on the 10th day of the month. You shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the foreigner who sojourns with you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all of your sins before the Lord. In the New Testament, John says, now behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the difference is, Hebrews 7:27 says, he does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Friends, the knife of God came through and pierced the Son through. It was a complete sacrifice. And this was done once and for all. 1 Peter 3:18 saying, Christ also died for sins once for all. Once for all. That's the difference. The just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh. Friends, he actually died. He actually died. And he rose. He actually died. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And Hebrews says that he, having offered one sacrifice for all sins for all time. That's the New Testament idea of atoning sacrifice. Once and for all time. He sat down at the right hand of God, for all have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. To demonstrate His righteousness. Have you beheld the Son in His glory? In His resurrected glory at the right hand of the Father. Behold the Lamb of God today. Behold Him. He is in a place lifted up. When Stephen was being stoned, he saw Him in a moment before he died at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Behold Him today, the Lamb of God which takes away your sin. Hebrews 12:24 says we look to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. No longer do we need an atonement. No longer do we have to follow religion today that tells us it's based on works and what you do. It's based on what He has done and what He has already finished. We have been bought with the precious blood, Peter says, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless. The blood of Christ. It's the blood that cleanses me. It's the blood that gives me life. It's the blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice and washes me whiter than the snow. The words of that chorus. Don't hesitate to give the Lamb your sin. This is the very thing that you cannot take away and the very thing He came to take from you. Don't hold back your sin from Him. It's something you cannot take away and you cannot deal with. It's the very thing He came to die for. Don't hold back from Him that which you cannot do away with. Don't cover your sin in the sense of good works or religious deeds. Or rebuking your own conscience. Jesus only can take away. In atonement, there was the idea of a covering of holding back the wrath of God. But in the New Testament, it's a taking away. Jesus can take your sin away. He takes away, the Bible says, the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The sin of the world. Don't hold back your sin from Him. If you're unsaved this morning, do not hold back your sin from Him. Come to the fount of blood and be cleansed once and for all. And if you're a believer, walk with Him and give Him your sin continually. Give it to Him. Say, Lord, I'm unable. Take my sin. Take my sin and look up to the cross. Look up. Don't wallow in the mire. Don't wallow in your sin. Don't wallow in your shortcomings. Because if we did that, we'd be forever downtrodden, forever downcast. Look at the wound and then look to the healing. Look to the cross of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now a warning, the cost of not accepting the blood of Christ. The cost of not accepting the blood of Christ is to forsake the great atonement for your souls and is to face the wrath of God on judgment day completely and fully for every sin committed in your heart, in your mind and in your deeds. It's to fully receive the just deserts of your sin. So a warning, do not reject the blood of the sacrifice of the Son of God. It is the most precious thing that was done for you. It's the most precious thing that was done for the sins of the world. To forsake the great atonement is to face the wrath of God. Children who are here with us, Children who sit in the church and have teaching from their parents, their elders, their pastor, and yet they reject Christ. They may one day diligently seek, but it might be too late. It might be too late. Some may sit in the midst of God's people their whole life. They may go to church their whole life and yet never receive that atoning sacrifice for their souls. Behold the Lamb of God this morning. Behold Him. He's risen. He's at the right hand of the Father. Everything we're reading is history. It's happened and it's real. And the Spirit bears witness to it this morning. The Spirit of God bears witness to it this morning wherever the gospel is preached on this Good Friday. Wherever the gospel is preached in its truth, the Spirit is working in this world. Do not reject the blood of Christ. And as a believer, you may ask, why don't I have a good prayer life? Why am I not striving in prayer? Why am I not thirsting for Christ? Why am I not hungry after righteousness? Why am I not seeking Him in His Word daily? Why am I not witnessing of this gospel in power? Why no power? Have you seen the cross? Have you beheld the Lamb of God daily? If you look to yourself, you will only have disappointments and sorrow. But if you look in faith to the cross and behold Him as you ought, you will have victory after victory after victory over every unbelief, over every sin. You'll have victory, victory. Jesus came and He died for the penalty of sin. And by His Spirit now He gives victory over the power of sin as you look to the cross. And one day when we see Him at the right hand of God and when we enter into His presence, we too will be free from the presence of sin forever. We too will be free from the presence of sin forever. What is the response to the claims of Christ on our lives? There is only one Christ. Do you behold Him daily? In word and in deed, in prayer and obedience, in life sacrifice, in sacrifice. Hudson Taylor said there are not two Christs. There's not an easy, non-self-denying life will never be one of power, Taylor said. Fruit-bearing involves cross-bearing. There are not two Christs, an easygoing one for easygoing believers and a suffering, toiling one for exceptional believers. There's only one Christ. Are you willing to abide in Him and thus to bear much fruit? Have you beheld Him, the Lamb who died freely for you and yet who demands your whole life? The most expensive free gift on the face of the earth is salvation. The most costly free gift that cannot be bought is salvation. Oh, there's so much belittling of the cross and the blood of Christ in this man-centered world with man-centered gospels. There is one gospel. There is one Christ, and He suffered and died in agony in love. For you and I, He came as high priest as we move towards the Lord's table. Hebrews 9:11 says that Christ came as the high priest of good things to come. With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and of calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. That those who are called. The Holy Spirit is at work in your heart this morning. Respond to the claim of Christ on your life. All those who are called may receive, that all those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.